Welcome to Soft Bites Podcast, your life, your dentistry. We talk about ways to have more fun and meaning in one of the coolest and most rewarding professions in medicine. Conversations on how to bring awareness, create a healthy workplace, and provide emotional insights to make dentistry a fulfilling activity while making space for one's wonder, creativity, and freedom. Here are your hosts, Manuela and George André.
Hello, Bruno.
Hello. Hello, everyone.
Hello, Manuela. Hello, and George André, tudo bem? How are you? Everything all right?
Great to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you, Bruno.
Thank you for the invitation.
For accepting our invitation. And welcome. Welcome to Soft Bites podcast. So me and George André thought about having an episode about dental photography. And we immediately thought about inviting you. So thank you for being here with us today, and to share
it's
a little
really
bit of your knowledge.
You know, I already told you, Bruno, because I hear your podcast, so you know it's a very good experience to be here
nice,
with you
cool.
And sharing. What you need for me and what I can share with our colleagues.
So usually we don't talk about technical parts of dentistry, but we consider that photography is way more than a simple technique. I mean, there's so many things connected to photography. I mean, there's patient communication, there's documentation, there's marketing, there's social media. There's personal, professional image. I mean, it's impossible to have a business today without thinking about any sort of video or photography. So I think there's way more that you can share with us besides the technical part of photography.
Yes, because all of this that George André just said, I think that it's everything. It's you have interest in all these subjects also. So we talk a lot about the human skills in dentistry. And I think that you bring all of that also to the photography. And it's interesting because we talked not so long ago and you said something like photography was like your mission. So not only your mission in dentistry, but like a life mission. And I was very interested. I was very interested on that. But for the ones that don't know you, Bruno, please share a little bit of you with the ones that are listening. So you are a dentist and much more than that. But tell us a little bit. We always ask to our guests, our first question is always, why did you choose dentistry? And to tell us a little bit about your journey as a dentist.
Okay, so as most of our colleagues, for at least here that I know, almost everyone wanted to go to medicine. So it was my case. I went to dentistry for I did not control it because I want to go to medicine. But after all, I was lucky because I love. I always had some special gifts on working with hands, so it was a complementary of everything with that, like a kind of art, you know. So it was really enjoying to learn dentistry, and after all, I love the course and I love my profession. About photography, do you want to know how did it start? Well,
exactly. This is how we next question exactly.
Okay. So I always was the photographer of the family. So I enjoyed photographing things and video. So in the university, we didn't have lots on about that on this team photography, but in Imagiology, we had a classroom about photography, and I enjoyed it very much. After all, in the end of the course, I stayed till now giving lessons on the discipline of Imagiology. So it was a complementing everything was done like that. So as I like photography in dentistry, we had to buy our camera. So it was a pity for me not using all that expensive material on our daily life. So I start studying more photography. And then I start like a page in Facebook, you know. And then after some times, some friends of mine, girls, they asked me, Bruno, can you teach us photography? And so I organized more than 10 years ago in 2013, the first workshop on photography for, as I call it, real life, not dentistry. And then in that year, I organized the first course on dental photography. So it was very good helping our colleagues learning more about photography. And then I did not start as you know, I have a studio. So then I had to share my life between dentistry and photography.
Yes, because you are not only I mean, your interest is not only photography and dentistry, right? So you are a real photographer, right? Of the everyday life.
Yes, in that time I start making photo shoots sessions outside. Then I created a studio to make those sessions in the studio, and to give the workshops. And then it start growing. And in 2020, I decide to stop during COVID. I decided to stop working so much on dentistry in that time, and divide my time between dentistry and photography. I was already doing everything in photography, but I need more time to develop my studio. So in that time, 4 years ago, I stopped working every day on dentistry.
Okay, and in dentistry, why do you think, give me the reasons why taking good dental photographs is so important for a dentist nowadays? I think we already talked about this on podcasts, for example, for you to negotiate your work conditions. If you have a good photography portfolio, that's very important, right? So I think nowadays photography and dentistry is huge. What do you think the main reasons that dental photography is important in a dentist's career?
Well, the first most important reason is for medical legal reasons. Okay, you have to get the registry of your patients while you didn't do anything in the mouth. Okay, to protect yourself, to protect your clinic. That's the first important reason. After that, you already told it's very important to the diagnose, to study the case, to explain the patient. This is in the first appointment, to explain everything to the patient. And I'm not talking only about photography, but all the images that you can get to show the patient better the treatment plan, and better so that he can understand everything that you are explaining. And sometimes if you don't do this with an intraoral camera, with a smartphone, with a scanner, everything, it's imaging, X-rays. If you don't show the patient, he will not understand the importance of that treatment. And I think that we can't be more, more preoccupied than the patient about his treatment. So it's important that we explain better what he has to do. Okay. And sometimes I compare the treatment planning that you give to the patient, usually, you know, that before I remember that the dentist never give treatment plans. The patient just came and he had usually they were treated in urgencies. nowadays. I remember the time that we had, completely shit filled with all the treatments with strange codes, and we still have that. But you can imagine, I compare it to a project in architecture. Imagine that you have 50,000 euros of a project that you are going to make in your house. You don't want a list of wires of painting that the guy is going to use in your house. That's what we are giving to the patients sometimes, only a list of things that he doesn't understand anything. It's completely crazy. It's completely impossible that he can understand anything, because when he gets home, he will not remember anything. Okay, so it is very important that with imaging that we can explain better what you want, and then with the images we can study, we can share with colleagues, we can send to the lab the information so that they can make the study for us, so that you can show the patient then the WhatsApp, and he understands the project. And I use this word very much. He understands the project that he has to his mouth, okay? That is going to be life-changing, of course. So this is the most important reasons, okay? Another important reason is about growing of the dentist, because if you take photographs, you will see the things that you are not doing so well, and you have the chance to correct it later. You have a chance to ask someone that can help you, and you are going to improve your work. So, Manuela, when I told you that photography was a mission for me, it's like a mission because I know that dentistry can be much better, and the doctor can be much happy, and the patient can be much more well treated if the doctors take photographs to their cases, okay? Another important thing for me as a clinical director of a clinic or an owner is to implement protocol of photography, because usually we don't see the work of our colleagues, and if we implement the protocol of dental photography, they can have the works photograph it, and we can see later and check something. But besides that, as a colleague me in the other day in the course, he told me in Paris, he was telling Bruno, no one is going to take photographs to shit. Okay, so you can understand that if you implement a protocol in the clinic, the doctors will take more care with your patients. So this is very important also for those who are driving a clinic nowadays. I think these are the most important reasons.
Yeah, Bruno, I think the way that you place the importance of photography is really well placed, because and I don't know if you agree with me, but basically, it is, you may have a very good dentist that is a bad photographer, but a good photographer will be almost most of the times a very good dentist. Yeah, because it's impossible to take good photos and not improve your dentistry. I was while you were talking, yes. I was thinking about that. I mean, everyone that I know that takes good photos is also, at least that's the idea I have, is also a very good clinician, right? Because photography, as a result, it will make you a good clinician. But yes, we have a lot to talk about photography, because the way that you place it is not only from the technical part, is mainly for treatment plan presentation, right? For communication with the lab. So today, photography is really at the center of the patient relationship, and at the core of dentistry.
Yes, Andre. And we are not talking about, Manuel asked, what do you think the importance of good, why they should take good photographs? And I don't like the good, because first they have to photograph their cases. And after that, our colleagues, sometimes they will grow, of course, if they take photographs, and they will see that the photos maybe are not like the photos that Andrei publishes or I publish or other colleague publishes. So he might want to improve the photography. And another important thing is that nowadays with the social media, we share a lot all this kind of nowadays with social media we share a lot all these kind of cases and clinical cases, and we share them online, and it is very good, because you know, our colleagues that don't photograph, or those that start photographing, they can see how where they can achieve. Okay, and before, you know, in the clinics that I worked, for instance, in Malo Clinic for 20 years, we always had a camera there while we didn't have digital cameras. But, and we know some colleagues that always have photographed, for instance, orthodontics, but the cases are not well photographed, you know. And I have, for instance, teachers in the universities, they come to my courses because they say sometimes, Bruno, I want to learn a little, some more, because I give these courses and my students have better photos than mine. So they even see that they can improve. And nowadays, you know what is a good photograph or what is not. Okay. And we can here also spare two things. One thing is the photograph that we have to register the case. Another thing is the completely different photo that we use to communicate. Okay, and I always explain in my course that we have to know what we need with the photography. Okay, to register a case, we don't need a special photograph with diffusers and nothing.
Yeah.
But you don't need. But that is the photo that is going to be completely different, and that your patient, not your colleague, because you don't need anything from your colleague, but your patient is going to like more. Okay, I usually call them sexy photos.
Yeah.
Okay, when they are with diffusers, and you know why? Yeah. And we have to think about it, because when you want to send the images to the lab for color information, for instance, we don't need diffusers because it is going to remove some important information from the photos. But patients are not used to see photos with flash reflectings in the mouth, okay? Because when you see someone smiling in the street with a beautiful smile, you don't have a flash with a white spot in the teeth, okay? So you have a more normal diffused light in the mouth. Once I have a patient that went to the clinic, and in the end, after the surgery, we are doing the definitives, and he told me this, that is what was very important. He told me this. When I decide to come to this clinic, okay, I had two places to go, but your cases were more natural. And I know colleagues that has great cases, but when you see the photos, they don't look natural. And one of the reasons is this, because they use some direct flash that don't diffuse the light, that gives a big reflection in the tooth. And when you publish it in the internet, the patient is going to see, oh, this don't look like a natural teeth. About natural teeth, I always advise our colleagues and that they should not, if you want to have a good communication with your patients again, and if you want to them to see that you have beautiful smiles, creating beautiful smiles in your clinic, you shouldn't have in your Instagram, for instance, or social media photos without lips, okay? Once I was in a course and I was photographing a colleague, and then I published and I asked her to bring the mandibula to the front, to be like this, okay? And the teeth were together in the front, and then I take a photo. It was a beautiful photo. And then I published, and a friend of mine told me, Bruno, you know that photo that I saw in your Instagram? It looked like the, how do you call the that monster, you know, that was in a ship. No, that was in a ship. I don't remember now the name.
Alien.
Yes, the alien, yes. It looked like an alien. And I was, really? I like so much the photo, you know? But he looked to the photo and it seems like an alien. And then I told to the girl, to our colleague, you know, a friend of mine told me that your photo, you look like an alien. And she told me, my boyfriend told me the same. So this has to bring us to think about this, because patients don't like to see teeth without lips. So photograph smiles, not teeth retracted, okay? If you want to publish the photos in the Instagram of a clinic. Imagine that Jorge André is going to do a prosthodontic course and he wants to see, to show something different to the colleagues. But this is a different profile. It's not the profile from the clinic, okay? So you have to understand what kind of image we should use for each purpose, okay? And this is very important that I want to share with you these small examples that can make us think about the kind of image that you are going to use tomorrow. Okay.
That is a very good tip, Bruno. I think we'll have that as a meme on our Instagram account with quoted, and we'll be quoting you, of course, but basically, the message is you should not use dental photography for patient education or for marketing without lips or without faces, without smiles. That's a very
yes. Patients very don't good. Like photos without and, lips. Yeah. Okay, they like mouths.
It's and funny because
that's
I was
the
I was
only thing that they want yeah, to see.
I was, yeah.
How is the smile in the yeah. end? Not I was the gum and.
I was. Yeah. I was talking about that with my dental nurse, and she said, look, we have to stop placing so much details in our clinic Instagram account. We have to make it more about smiles before and after and faces. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Okay, Bruno, I got two questions for you. So what are the fundamentals of photography? And if a dentist wants to start documenting their cases, where and how to start? I know you would talk a whole day to answer this question, but with some minutes, what would you say to someone that has just came out of the college, is thinking about buying a camera? He has no equipment yet. He's thinking about buying a camera. I don't want you to get into too much details about brands and stuff, but just some advice for someone that is out of the university and thinks about starting to do some dental photography. What would be the advice that you would give?
First, he should start photographing, okay, with smartphone, because I'm sure he doesn't have a camera now. And or a macro lens or a ring flash. First, start photographing. And it's very important that he understands how important can be the improving of the photography that he's doing, okay? And for someone that finished the course, Andre, we see a lot, we see in Instagram, you see that they want and they start very, very, very in the beginning creating personal profiles for dentistry, okay? And so they see the importance that this has. So they start to publish photos with smartphones, and But even with smartphones, we should use some rules, because if we have rules to photograph with a camera, a professional camera, the rules should be the same to use the smartphone. Okay, so of course, and I give course, of course, I advise them if they like imagery and they want to communicate better, and if they want to impact some clinic where they want to work later, okay, in some time, or they want to have more patients, they should have more professional photos, because we can still see the difference, okay? That in Instagram, we know that we have a small square, but the quality we can see there. Okay, but even with the smartphone, we should use the basic rules. So one of the most important things that the smartphone has usually is a wide lens. So they should protect themselves from getting too close to the mouth, because we are going to distort the teeth. It's the same with the lens. If you use a 60 millimeter lens, focal distance, okay? So they should come a little behind the patient for the place where usually we get the teeth observed by us. It's the same is with the face. If you want to do some oral facial harmonization, we should have a perfect distance from the face, not to distort the face of the patient, okay? Then you have to learn how to light the teeth the same, use the retractors the same as you should do with a professional camera. But of course, it's very important, George, and that for me it's a pity when you have, and I can give you a receipt to place in the camera, okay? So if you want to learn to take photographs with a professional camera, you even can buy one in secondhand, and you don't waste so much money like that, and you can have a great kit for photographing. But it is very important that you understand, and I think that dentists, they are clever, and it's really stupid when you have something that you don't understand why you are using, okay? And if I tell you that you have to place the aperture in F22 or the speed on in something, you can do it maybe, okay? Or you ask someone to place it in the camera and then you can't touch anymore. Are you going to be happy in photography? Of course not, because they're not understanding. And if you have a problem later, you will stop photographing. And for me, it's very important that as a clever guy, as dentists are, they should understand what they place in the camera. And I usually say that those numbers that we place in the camera are the least important thing in dental photography, you know? I usually say that dental photography is photography for monkeys, or if you want, for dummies. Because it's really stupid that... we spend so much money in a camera, and with the greatest lens, for instance, for portrait, that is the 100 millimeters lens, f2.8. It's great camera, and we just use it with eyes closed, because we close the aperture, because in the mouth, I usually say that we had the worst conditions to work with a camera in the world, because we have a great camera, a great lens, and we close everything. Imagine that we are blind. Or we are not blind, but we close our eyes to go in the street. So, but for professional reasons, we have to do that. So we have a flash to light the image. But we work in a very hard, difficult conditions for the camera. And so we are dependent on the flashlight. But I think the first advice was that starting to photographing with smartphones. Okay, it's really easy to explain how you can improve with the smartphones, and then understand how greater the image can be if you use a professional camera. And I advise you to take a course with some colleague that gives you that information and explains you everything so that you can improve a lot. There are lots of colleagues that start with good photography, and then they go to some special clinic that invite them because they saw him. So it's very good for those that want to be different to take photographs, because they can have better jobs and be more happy, okay? Not working with secures and insurance and working in 20 minutes to see a patient and everything.
That's what we said when we had an episode about negotiating your work conditions, that if you have a good portfolio of dental photography of your cases, it could be it could really make the difference for you in where you work. But tell me something. If I ask you the question how to get consistent and predictable photos, you're probably going to tell me that you have to follow a protocol, and that it's probably something that you teach on your courses. You probably teach a protocol. But I'm going to join these two questions together. So first, how some guidelines or your answer on how to get consistent and predictable photos. And if for you to achieve that, it's only the dentist that has to learn about dental photography, or if the whole team should also learn about dental photography, because I think this consistency and for you to have good photos, it's not only the dentist, right? It has to be also the team, because you just mentioned that the numbers, for example, the numbers on the machine are the least important thing. So it's only the dentist, or the whole team should be involved in this, in the dental photography?
Okay. So I have to divide the questions, because the answer to the first one is very important, okay? Because the numbers, as I told you before, okay, the exposure, if we talk about numbers, we are talking about the exposure. It's the quantity of light that is going to have your image, okay? And usually we want to see teeth and gums, and they are well exposed. You see everything not too dark or too white. So that is the simple part, okay? It's very simple. The most important part is what I call the photographic checkpoints, okay? It's like a checklist that you have to follow if you want to photograph. And this is related with, first thing, choose a magnification to photograph. And this is answering about consistency, reproducibility, because if you use the same magnification, you will have always the same magnification, the teeth always of the same size. Imagine that you have a before and after. You can superimpose them, because you are in the right distance to photograph both. You will not have distortion, and all the mouths of your patient will be in the same size. Okay, so this is the first important thing: magnification. Then another thing is about composition and orientation. Okay, you have to know in each photo what you want to have. I don't want to have the tongue, for instance, in the lower occlusal photo. But then you have the most important thing and most difficult, and that usually colleagues have some more difficult. It's about orientation. It's like, how am I going to land this plane? Okay, how am I going to have always the same place to see the mouth? So I have some guides. Okay, some lines, some references in the mouth, inside the mouth, that you can follow, so that you can have the photo with the patient sitting. Okay, when you have to finish two central incisors, we go to the front of the teeth, and you have to see the plane and the mouth and the pupil line, so that you can have the teeth perfect. Okay, with With dental photography, I don't need it, because with those references that I'm going to give you, you can have the patients lying down and you can have the photos perfect. And also to have the photos before and after that you can superimpose. And I usually in my course explain that when you have, for instance, the lab work, they should use the same reference so that you can superimpose the model with the veneers, with the veneers in the mouth later. And this is very important. So answering all again about the second thing, it's the team. Okay, for me, the course that I like more to give are the course on dental clinics, okay, exclusive for dental clinics. And why? Because I can work with all the team and we can think about how can we improve not just the dental photography protocol and establish it, because it's much easier for me to arrive there to talk, for instance, with George André and to think about a plan to improve the photography in general, but also to implement things like how are you going to organize, who is going to take the photos, the extra oral, do you want to install a studio, how do you want to have the image in the end in the studio, what is your ideal portrait photography for your patients, because it can depend from your personal taste, you know. You like more with a black background or a white. And so we are going to work on that. And then I talk about marketing a lot, because I always want to help our colleagues about that. So it is very important that you understand how to take all the photographs that you can use in your social media or your web pages. So with those kind of courses, I can teach you intraoral photography that usually are the only thing that the doctors want to learn. Then the professional portrait photography for your patients. I think it's really a pity when we take photographs to our patients and they seem like they are dying or they are in the prison, okay? And I have patients that have the before photos and they publish them in the Instagram. And they are the before because they didn't went to a studio and they love the photo. And then we take photos of the products that we place in the mouth, okay, the models and everything. And then another very important photo that I want to teach is how to take photos from the day life in the clinic, okay? Because these are the photos that get better interaction and better interaction in the internet, because patients want to see our happiness. They want to feel our temperature and our sensitivity and our love in the photos. And they want to see that we are happy with our dental nurse. And all the clima, you know, in the office, they want to feel that. And it's very important that even when we don't have a patient, usually they go to the internet, they search for your clinic, and then they are going to see for the social media. Very interesting, the journey of the patient in the internet. So they can look for you in the Google reviews, for instance, or even if someone tells them, you have to go to George André, he's great. He's going to go to the Google reviews and then he's going to go to the profile of the clinic. He's going to see everything. And they tell this to me because I ask everything. And so you can understand that we have to be perfect in everywhere and you have to show really who you are. For instance, imagine I have some colleagues in my course that had a website, okay? But they didn't have a photo of them in the website. It's really stupid because patients need to know us before they go to the clinic, because they need to see that we are not beautiful, but we are very sympathetic and that we are empathic and that we are smiling and they can be with us and that we are confident. confident, and they can be really well in our clinic and with us.
You know, one of the reasons why I was asking you about if it's all the team or only the dentist learning about the dental photography, it's because I already worked with some dentists that one of their I'm going to call it complaints, but it was that due to photography. So the fact that they were the only ones knowing how to handle the photography, then things were not done right in the practice, and they were asking things to assistants, and in the end of the day they were not done, so like the backups and things like that. And when I asked, but do they know how to do that, did you teach them, do you have a protocol, their yes. answer was no. I mean, what they teach them was like in the middle of appointments, oh, now you have to do this and that. So the So I think that sometimes dentists ask things to their assistants and to their staff that they forget that they know, they learned it, but they didn't. So that's why I was asking to you, because I think that in photography is so interesting. And it, again, like you said, it has so much use in a dental practice, not only for the before and after, not only for documented cases, but so, for so much more, that if the team is really engaged and if the whole team learns not only the protocol but everything about the, and is connected in the photography process, I think things are much easier, because otherwise it can be just something more that the dentist feels like it's only in his back, something more for the dentist to carry along. And so I think that photography yes. also can be used in the dental team on that way.
One thing that I advise all the clinics, imagine that I finish a course, is that during that week or the after week, they get time to all together do again with each other the protocol. Okay, and they establish the protocol in that time, and they try again everything, all the setups that we have prepared and learned and practice. They should do it. Okay, and nowadays in not only in the photography field but all fields. Okay, when you have a team, you have to do preparation and simulation. The simulation is very important. Imagine I have the receptionist that has to answer the phone like this. You have to do a simulation, a preparation with the protocol, and the photography is the same. You have to do simulation to them. Imagine that I want them to take the photos in the first appointment, and we are going to do a simulation. Someone is going to be the first patient, and we are going to check how much time it will take, because we have to adjust everything, and who is going to take it to make it. And you know, Manuela, one of the worst things in dental photography for patients, can you imagine what it is for patients? Retractors. Retractors.
I was going to say
awful.
Something like privacy on social media or something, but
no, intraoral. Yeah, you know. Okay. Usually, you say, "I are going to take photographs," and the patient says, "I don't like photographs," and then you say, "Oh, it's only to the mouth, okay," and everything is okay. But then, if the dental nurse doesn't know how to place the retractors, it is going to be a nightmare. Okay, so it's a very little small thing that we can teach and
so
we can learn
it all
first
starts
and we
there.
Can teach.
It all starts there because
of course.
It's
and in the simulation they can have them inside the mouth and feel what the patient will feel if they don't have take care on placing that. For instance, it's a very simple thing that is going to change everything. And also about motivation, because, you know, if you start taking photos with the ambient of the clinic, with the doctors together, with the nurse and all the team, it's a very important thing to motivate the team, because they like that. They like to see themselves. They like to see them hugging with the doctor, even with some patients sometimes. But only the team. If you want just to have the team, it's a very good way of motivating the team.
Nice. That's very interesting. Look, we are talking about the team. Now, I'm going to completely change the subject here for something that there's a lot of doubts in dentists. How do you store and organize the photos? I mean, so that you don't get completely messed up, because I know there's a huge problem in most clinics. They lose photos, they lose cards. What is the protocol that you recommend?
What do I advise? Okay, I asked in a study that I did in 2020 about about dental photography in Portugal. Okay, the colleagues for storage usually they have in their own computer. Okay, this is a very important problem, because you can imagine if I'm a clinical director, owner of a clinic. I need the photos in the computer of the clinic, in the storage in the clinic. So if I don't give an opportunity of the to the doctors to photograph with a camera from the clinic, they will take their camera. And the clinic is the owner of the informed consent of the photos, not the doctor. So this is very important medical legal reason that we have to think about, because sometimes, for instance, imagine that you store in the smartphone. If you take with smartphone, we are going to store in the smartphone. Where are going to be those photos? Okay? They are going to be lost for the clinic, for instance. Okay? So the first thing I advise the clinics to have a camera, so that everybody can photograph with that camera, okay? That no one has the need to take their own camera. Then in the clinic, you have to organize the images, okay? I would advise that some nurse, that depends from the quantity of photos that you take and the urgency of the using those photos to send to the lab, they can download after each patient that is photographed, or they can organize like 1 day or 2 days in a week, okay? But it would be important that this is also a kind of way of motivating our colleagues. That is, if you give them more responsibility, okay? And you have different ways. One of them is this: give responsibility. So if you know that there are some dental nurse that is more organized, that like computers and everything, you should choose and ask. Of course, you don't impose nothing. You ask them if they want to be responsible for that, and this is very important, because they will be very happy with the. That kind of responsibility and confidence of from you, from the clinical director, and they have to check when they do this, Jorge André, that they take when they do the upload of the photos, they should check how many photos were there in the card and in the final file, okay, because sometimes there are some photos that get lost in the middle. It happened already in the clinic. So another thing is where to place the photos. And I should advise you to use, for instance, something online that you can get the photos, for instance, Dropbox or some other place, but not in your computer. If you have a computer, you should place it all on a server so that you have a backup outside the clinic, for instance, because if you have some nightmare in the clinic, assaulted, fire, water, something that everything is lost. You have to take care of that. So be careful. And what can I tell you more about this organization? Now you can organize the files. I don't know how you do. It depends from the clinic, but usually the computer organizes better with the profile, the number of the clinic, the process that we use, the number, and then the name of the patient, because it's easy for the computer to organize everything. Did I help you? Did I?
Yeah.
Answer
yeah,
you
no
okay
just another question. So we've been talking a lot about gathering the team and everything. So we know there are some colleagues that have some that outsource the photography, especially for social media. So my question to you is this: do you think that you should have someone in-house to the photography? I mean, it can be a nurse, it can be a photographer. Some, for example, in my practice, I have someone that does photography and dental informatics, also does some radiology. Do you think that that's a better idea? Or do you think that to outsource, especially the social media part to another company or to someone else, that is not that much in tune with the practice, let's say? Yeah, because I believe, this is my personal opinion, that if you have someone within the team that can learn photography, you will probably know the team better and know the needs better. What's your thoughts about that? Because we have, especially big practices, sometimes they outsource dental photography, especially for social media and stuff like that. What's your thoughts on that?
You're only talking about content, not publishing, about the content.
Yeah, usually only have about a company content,
usually
yeah.
You have a company that organize your social media and they ask you for content. Sometimes they go there and you pay, or you are asking me if it's better to have someone. Of course it's always better to have someone. The problem is that you have to you need to have already almost big clinic with the one or two offices is really difficult to have someone only doing that, but it's very simple to have a nurse doing that. Okay. So if you don't have someone that has education on video and photography and social media, you can have a nurse and usually the youngest, they are very well on social media, they understand everything better than us. So it's really, I know a colleague that used that, a nurse that likes to the social media, produces the videos on the directly in the smartphone, and he has lots of content. Of course, it's really an advantage to have someone in the clinic doing that. In the biggest clinics, you have 2-3 persons for photography, for video, and for marketing, someone 2 or 3 also for marketing. That depends from your size and your goals. But the goals are very important, because sometimes you think, no, I don't want to do this because this is very expensive. But if you need patients, I'm talking about clinics that need patients, because if you have a clinic that depends only from the word of mouth and you have your agenda completely filled, you don't need to invest in marketing because you will not have time to see your patients. So it's really stupid to get some more patients, okay? You have to change something, okay? Yeah. But if you have place to have more patients and your clinic is starting, you have to be in social media, or else you will not have patients.
Okay? Yes, I agree with you. Today, I think it's very difficult to be in a position where it's only like word of mouth, unless it's like a very, very small practice in a very, very remote area. But I would say that most of us, we need to be on social media. And it's very good that we have someone like you that really remembers us that the importance of image and all that stuff.
And that it can be done in an organic way. I think that's also what you said, Brun, that thing, if you show the natural environment of the place, that you can show who you are also in a natural way. You don't have to fake anything. So, and if it's done inside the team, that can come in an organic way.
Those are the photos that create more interaction. You can see your profile, some clinic profiles, and see that.
Bruno, last question. How do you see the future of dental photography? Because I don't know if artificial intelligence is going to change
something
in photography. But how do you see the future for dental photography?
And sorry, Manuela. So let me just add something. I don't know if you saw, I'm sure that both of you have saw this. You saw the AI with video prompts. I mean, you just ask to do a video with a certain characteristics. I mean, it's not even an image now. It's like a video. So the things that will be possible in the future are really, really crazy. I might be able to ask, take a photograph of me on an improved way with more muscles, with a better skin, with a better light.
Yes.
Where do you think this is going?
That you have already, not the video, but the photo. So you have applications that can create from a simple photo from you a great portrait, professional headshot. Okay. Still, you can see that it's not real, but can be in your profile because it's so small that that could be used. Okay, for the dental photography in the clinic, of course, I think that the video, we didn't talk about video, but the video should be talked about because videos are a group of images, frames. So it's really easy to take some frames and get photos from there. And sometimes we can get more information. We didn't talk about it because we see better the smile, interaction with the lips, with the phonetics and everything. So we should, if we want to improve, we can have some videos of our patients with the before and walk-ups, for instance. We already do it, but we could do it a little more so that we can get more information for even from the beginning, because when I ask a patient, smile, okay, nobody's want to smile. It's very difficult to smile. You have to tell some joke and then you get the natural smile because they are very shy. Nobody wants to smile. They don't want to go to the dentist and imagine the dentist asking him, smile, okay, and give me your biggest smile. And you don't see the gum that sometimes when he smiles, you could see. Because so in the video you can get that that playing, and you can get that frame from the biggest and better and natural smile that sometimes in the photo you can't have. And I'm sure that intraoral scanner, that is also image, not in the also using photography, is going to improve much better. And there are some cases that I can tell you that all my first cases I do the dental scan, the intraoral scan. So we have complete information. It's very important tool for communication with we are using IA also for the occlusion and everything, for instance, simulation for orthodontics that we can show to the patients. And they are very important tools that we already use with AI, and in imagiology the same is going to happen a lot. Of course, the before and after case, we will still have to shoot them the better way we can, because we want to make the difference, and we just can make difference if we get better photos, okay, that can impact. And we can see it also in the, if you want to grow as a dentist, grow as a key speaker for a brand, you just have to have good photos and they will follow you and ask you to speak to them. You know, and I know very known dentists that start in the Instagram, okay, yes. with very good photos. I can tell you a name, Andrei Kimura, for instance. He was very young, he's very Absolutely, intelligent, yes. and he yes. started with photography. And nowadays it's very really cute because we choose our conferences also from Instagram, not from universities anymore. We invite those that have the case. We don't need don't need anymore a professor sometimes. We call that guy that is impacting our colleagues. It's really strange because this changed everything.
Let me ask you something because you also mentioned this on a conversation that we had. Also, I think that photography it's very important. I think more and more because of legal issues, right? You said that you know some cases of colleagues that went to court and had to defend themselves, and that's what the what they had and the evidence that they had was the photographs, and that was very important for them. So more and more, and in the future, photography also will be very important for legal issues in for dentists, right?
Right. And not even in the court. I know case from some colleagues for oromaxillofacial surgery that or something that they do in the face. That the patient told him, "No, I'm the same. I didn't change anything," because the patient was taking selfies with smartphone. Okay, and fortunately, he has the before and after, and the smartphone distorts and don't see your face as it should. And fortunately, he had photos from before and after taken properly, and she showed everything, the difference. So it's very important to show. It's very important to show the photos to the patient and to have them. And another important thing about medical legal reasons is the way that you store the image, the kind of file, because you should use raw files because this is the original image.
I agree with you.
From the camera, not JPEG, okay? So be careful. In my course, I give the example of the American Academy of Cosmetic Dentistry for you to be with them and to be in that association. You have to send 50 cases in raw. So imagine that all the magazines asked for raw files. You wouldn't have so many. Cases that are not true, okay?
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. That was very, very enlightening. And thank you for because it's we talk about this on the podcast, and this is just my curiosity, because how was it for you to explore this new path of photography outside dentistry? Because you developed a photography as a passion in a way that has nothing to do with dentistry. So you have, of course, this path of dental photography, and you have your courses and you love to do it, but you also have your career outside of dentistry as a photographer. How was that? Because I think that's very interesting. Nowadays, I think dentists are exploring all these new paths. I'm an example of that. So how was it? How was it for you? And what do you advise for colleagues that want to explore new paths outside of dentistry? What's your advice for them?
For me, it was very easy because I don't remember. But imagine I started doing it after the appointments or in some days that I didn't work, and because I was every day in the clinic. So it was something that came slowly and with more intensity. And then I had to decide to stop working every day to give more time to the photography. and to my studio. It's really cute because this also came after I did something that you know that I did that was very impacting to me. It was a post-graduation on marketing. And so it's really, really funny when you have something to test everything to see how it works and to create a brand and to be positioned online as a great Lisbon photography studio. And so you can invest, but it's really easy because if you are well positioned, I would say patients, but people search for me, companies search for me for doing all kinds of things, from events to product photography to corporate. That was what I communicate more. I do portrait corporate photography for all kinds of companies.
So you go to these companies and photograph them, or sometimes they come to your studio. How does that work? Do you do like in local courses for dentists? Do they come? I mean, let's say that there's dental practice that wants to do a course with the whole team. Let's say it. So you go there and you do the course, or they come to you. How does that work?
Yes, about photography, I do the photo shoots here in the studio or in the place. For instance, I go to a lawyer company and they have always lawyers coming. I go there and they photograph. I have some companies, technology, they come here, like team building, and they have the photos for the company. Imagine, and I have to follow the protocol from German photography that photograph them there. Okay, for the courses, I give here the courses in the studio, and with clinics, I go to the clinics also to give this course in the clinics. When they are here in Lisbon, sometimes I do the second part of the course here in the studio because I have everything in the lights so they can teach them better. But if usually the clinics... they want to upgrade the clinic with the dental studio. So I get, or they have already, and I go there and I teach everyone to work with the, and to create their images.
Very good.
And last, where Very can people good. Find you? Where can people find you? On Instagram, right? And yes, you have your Instagram. Website, right?
I have my website.
Instagram is Bruno Ciabra Photography, right?
Yes.
And your website is?
lightupstudio.pt.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you both.
Thank you so much.
It was great to be here with you.
And it was very good to talk about photography without talking anything too complicated or too technical. I mean, photography and image, it connects so many things in dentistry: patient communication, treatment plan presentation, medical legal reasons, social media, content, marketing, team building. I wasn't even aware of that, to be perfectly honest. I never thought about photography to have, I mean, we do have it in our practice. And by the way, I want to do a course with you. I would just send you an email to do the course with you. But it is so central. It is so central in dentistry and in practices today that it's really something that we really must pay close attention to. So thank you so much for this, okay?
Thank you both.
Thank you. Thank you, Bruno. And thank you. And thank you for everyone that listened to us. And please go to softbites.online if you want to know more about our Conscious Leadership course and all the other episodes of Softbites. And we'll see you on the next episode.